Recording. Okay, recording call. All right, there we go. File size is not incrementing. So you said you wanted to do the Hans Zimmer soundtrack theme from Batman?
No, if you want to. I mean...
How does that go again?
Bum, bum. And that's pretty much it. And there's a bunch of notes.
Hey, folks, let's thank Dan Houser for the intro music.
Indeed.
This is Lafferty from the Banff podcast. And we're doing another Icon Character Gen podcast.
That's right!
That was really friggin' popular for some reason. So, hey, we're back.
We're doing another one. It's going to be fun.
Indeed. And you're going to do pictures of these guys?
Yep, I sure am. Still working on Pinball and Buddy Moreau.
Mm-hmm.
And once that's all done, we'll post them. We'll even post these that we make tonight as well.
All right, sweet. Okay. Anything going on with you guys these days, Dan? We should probably talk about your Kickstarter some more, shouldn't we?
Oh, yeah. Creepy Kitchen. Lee Newman is... written a children's book. It's called The Creepy Kitchen, and I am doing the artwork for it. You can check it out on Kickstarter, kickstarter.com, and then just type in Creepy Kitchen. You'll find it. You'll get to see some neat art under the updates page, and you'll get to see the little video that we made featuring the cover and all of that.
Excellent. All right, cool, cool. Hey, have you seen Batman yet?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Amazing.
I guess there's almost no point in reviewing Batman, is there? Because pretty much everyone loves it. So.
Well, here's the thing. If you don't like Batman, if Batman isn't your favorite movie, isn't your favorite character as a superhero, you don't care about Batman, you find him kind of hokey, you're probably going to think this movie was pretty much okay. It was good. You probably won't like it as much as Dark Knight because it doesn't have a performance like The Joker where you get to you get a guy chewing up the scenery the whole time. That being said, if you are a Batman fan, Christopher Nolan has created a perfect Batman movie story in all three movies. And you see that nothing from these three movies was wasted. It's all a continuous tale about a man named Bruce Wayne who decides to be Batman and what he does when being Batman is over, when he's done being Batman. Does he die? You know, what the logical conclusion for Batman should be.
Which, you know, is kind of what Frank Miller was trying to do way back in the day with Dark Knight Returns.
And even Frank Miller, I mean, he's a great storyteller. He was a great storyteller at one point, and that was a great story that he told. But even he couldn't bring himself to show you the last day of Batman, where Batman's in a casket, you know.
And, spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, no, not really. I'm not going to spoil alert this, because Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller... Sorry, man. If you haven't read that yet, it's been 20 years, dude. Okay?
I guess
I'm just saying Christopher Nolan takes Batman to a place where you wouldn't have expected going into this movie that that's what the movie you were going to see. You know, you'd probably go into it expecting something bombastic and huge, but you probably wouldn't have expected such a personal Bruce Wayne story in a Batman movie. You know? And it kind of leads out the same way it leads in, where you don't see Batman for the first 30, 40 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, I don't know what else I can say. Living in Colorado, of course, it's got kind of a whole different aura right now. But, great movie. I'd recommend it without a hesitation. Good friend of mine called it the best movie hand down since now she's seen in like 5 years.
I'll talk about things that I love about the movie, because this review is required. I have friends who say, oh, I'm not really interested in seeing Bane. I don't like Bane. I don't like Bane either. I liked the Nightfall storyline, but I thought Bane, the design of the Bane character, was dumb. And then they put him in Batman and Robin and made him extra dumb. So he was always had the stigma of he's just a big dumb idiot, you know, with muscles. And he uses steroids. It's like, and he wears a wrestling mask, which is like, okay, layer upon layer of these stereotypical bad guy tropes. In this movie, they basically took Bane and took him from being the most ridiculous thing in the comics where you go, ugh, why couldn't it have been anyone else breaking Batman's back?
I think it was a lot closer to the Gail Simone Bane in...
That's exactly right. I just read The Vengeance of Bane, the Gail Simone story where it talks about Bane. I'm like, man, now people need to realize that Bane was intended to be anti-Batman. Like... the Antichrist to Batman's Christ, which is a little feverish and high-handed. But what I'm saying is he's the opposite, you know, the exact opposite of Batman. Batman came to being the pinnacle of, like, intelligence and skill and combat readiness for a good reason, and Bane became this for completely selfish and evil reasons. And in this movie, he's more like a terrorist version of T.E. Lawrence. Like, if you took the events of T.E. Lawrence's life, and instead of him conquering the desert, Saudi Arabia, he gets captured in the first week, and they torture him beyond belief. But he's a hard ass, so he survives it. What do you think he's going to do the second he gets out? He's going to bring back vengeance on anyone who had anything to do with it. And in this case, Bane thinks society is at fault. So you have this amazing, like, character, like, ripped from a Dickens novel, put into a Batman movie, and put with a veneer of a character that is really became kind of a laughing stock in the universe of DC Comics. And Tom Hardy erases all of that by making Bane, again, the true, like, consummate bad guy villain. And, I have friends who said I couldn't handle it because I couldn't understand what he said. They fixed that, as a matter of fact. Like, in the IMAX preview, you couldn't really understand what he was saying. They fixed all of it. Like, they didn't ADR most of it. They just cleared it up, you know? And what's great about that is that Christopher Nolan has a very specific vision about this realistic Batman universe. Is like, yeah, Batman for a while can't turn his head. In Batman Begins, he can't turn his head, so he kind of looks like the 89 Michael Keaton Batman turning from the shoulders, you know? And in the second movie, he's like, look, this is ridiculous. I want to look like a bat, but I also want to be able to turn my head. And then he's like, fine, but now you can get bit by dogs and stabbed by knives, you know? But now you can turn your head. And so this evolution of the characters is kind of realistic. There's always a realistic, not real, but realistic explanation for all of the stuff he has. His cape, the reason why his eyes are white in the second movie is because he's using that echolocation thing. And in this last movie, Bane wears the mask for a very specific reason, and he talks like somebody who has a facial appliance. And it's like you have to struggle to make yourself understood when you have like a retainer, braces, anything like that. Sometimes if you have a severe speech impediment, you struggle to make yourself understood. And in this movie, it's so ingenious, they get him to speak normally part of the time, where it's like kind of hard to understand him. So you have to do a lot of work yourself to lean in and kind of figure out what he's saying. But in the moments where you can tell he's forcing himself to be as clear as possible, it just adds so much dramatic oomph to it that it's like the perfect end to this Batman trilogy is because Tom Hardy was Bane. I honestly don't think anybody else could have pulled it off.
Maybe Zach Galifianakis. I don't know.
That beard would have been epic underneath that crazy face mask thing.
Sorry, I was going to say Adam Sandler, but that seemed too easy.
Adam Sandler would have been awesome, too.
Maybe,
are you good for your Gotham?
All right. Well, hey,
oh, Batman, are you too good for your home?
Now that we have plumbed the depths of serious geekdom with Dan's Batman review,
I love Batman The Dark Knight Rises. Fully endorse it. As a Batman fan, it's the best. It's the best ending you can think of for a Batman series of movies.
Let's get even geekier.
Yes.
Let's talk about doing character generation for Icon.
Sure. Oh, I love that. It's the funnest part of the game.
Well, I don't know about that.
Players.
It is.
I mean, I love the whole thing. But for me, starting out with new players sitting around a table of newbies, character generation is the best part because they always, as soon as they start making a character, they get the idea and the vibe behind Icons. And that means the game's going to run like butter every time. So I got to say I love character generation. And apparently so do you folks, so let's go ahead and do some. I saw somebody wrote a note. They eventually got around to character generation. My bad.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, I tell you what. Why don't you get started? I have to do something. I'm going to head that down for just a second, and I'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I will join you momentarily.
I'm going to get started. Okay, character generation. As in old school Marvel phase rip, you have random character generation and icons. It's pretty easy. You just take a couple six-sided dice, you roll on a bunch of tables, and you come up with your character. I'm also, while we're doing this, because I didn't do this last time, and luckily somebody online statted out the characters that we rolled up last time. I didn't do this last time, so I'm going to actually write it down as I go along with the Icons character folio. It was designed by Dan Guyant. He's actually a really awesome programmer and a huge Icons fan. He made this program on his own dime and on his own time, so please get out there and buy a copy of ICF if you haven't bought it yet. It's really, really cool. So we'll start at the beginning, of course, with the origin. I'm using the online dice rolling set from Wizards of the Coast, wizards.com/D&D/dice. And we'll go ahead and roll 2d6. Okay, on the origins table, this is on page 10, the origins table, I rolled a 5. Transformed. The hero was a normal human, but became superhuman through some outside agency, often an accident or experiment. One of the character's abilities or powers, my choice, is increased by +2. As I said in the last podcast, I typically wait to add that bonus until I've rolled up everything, and then I can decide where I'm going to put it. So I'll note transformed as the origin here, and put that down. Okay. So that's origin. Now, transformed, in case you would like a comic book description of what that is, it's like Spider-Man or The Flash. A spider bite changed you, or you got frisky with some chemicals at the police station, and boom, hit by lightning, as you know, like you do, and you end up with powers. So I'm going to start off with my attributes. The basic attributes are prowess, coordination, strength, intellect, awareness, and willpower. So we'll start off with those by rolling on the level determination table. It's on page 11. So we'll start off with prowess, and that's going to be If you can see what I'm doing here, I'm trying to fiddle to get all three things on my screen at once. Okay, so I rolled a 10. A 10 on the chart is a 6 for prowess. So my character is a capable fighter. He's at the human maximum without being superhuman. I'll roll again. I rolled a 7, which is going to be a 5, which means just under human maximum potential for coordination. So he's pretty much got a hefty ability in combat. His strength, I rolled a 6, which is going to be a 4. So he's slightly stronger than average. He's not a powerhouse by any stretch of the imagination, but he's no slouch. He's probably someone who engages in moderate exercise, as the Marvel Universe handbook would have called him. We'll go down to intellect. I'll roll the 2 dice again. I got a total of 8, which gives me another 5. Again, he's no slouch in the intellect department, being close to human maximum. Actually, I believe 5 is human maximum. So for coordination intellect, he's human maximum. So he's basically got a Batman-esque or a Hawkeye-esque ability for ranged attacks and an intellect like Batman would have. Nice little Batman-style character here. For awareness, I rolled a 12. All right. So I rolled I got an 8, the maximum stat beginning, which is pretty great. So he's aware of his surroundings at all times. It's very hard to sneak up on this fella. And I rolled an 8 for willpower, which is a 5. So this character's transformation transformed him from a normal guy into the peak of physical and mental readiness. No real boost to strength, so it looks like basically all of his reflexes were kind of boosted up. We'll go to the next chart page, which is going to be page 12. I'm going to roll power types, and then I'm going to roll what actual powers I get. So the first one is going to be, okay, roll the 2, add them together, that's 11, so it's going to be a sensory power. So I'm going to roll the 2 dice again, taking my first dice for the first column, my second dice for the second column. I rolled a 5 and then a 6, so that's precognition. So he has a little sense of what's going to happen, which kind of fits in with his enhanced reflexes and awareness. Okay, and then we'll go ahead and... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't do this first because I didn't roll on the number of powers table, which is on page 11. Let's do that now. I took a power, but I probably don't know whether or not I should have. I rolled a 10, so I got 4 powers. I got 3 left to roll up. So we'll try again with the 2d6, and I rolled a 9. That's an offensive power. And then we'll roll again. So that's a total of 3 and then a 1. So 3 is going to be a blast. Oh, 3. And then a 1 is going to be an affliction power. Now, affliction powers are things like causing nausea, disorientation. I used that for pinball in the last podcast. So I haven't selected any options yet. I'll go through those and select them after I find out their power levels. Or I can do it now, actually. Precognition.
I knew you were going to say that.
Because you have precognition?
Well, yeah.
I didn't know you were there.
I'm stealthy like a ninja.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you're back. Mm-hmm. I'll just go on to the next power. I have 2 more powers to roll up. So I'll... Do you know what page we're on right now? Page 12?
I have no idea. Okay, page 12.
Okay, so I rolled a total of 8, which gives me a movement power.
Okay. So there's a movement power table, which is on the next page, page 13.
All right, and then I rolled... The first number was a 4.
Okay.
Second number was a 5.
So you're a swinger.
I have swinging. Okay.
So far you have affliction and swinging?
Precognition, affliction, and swinging.
Hmm.
I have transformed. It's almost as if I chose to be Spider-Man this time.
Yeah, actually, I can see that. So instead of shooting out spider webs, you shoot out, like, cholera.
I shoot out anthrax. Ah, why? I'm all thraxed up. Okay, so rolling again with the 2d6 for my last power. The total is a 5.
Giving you a control power.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Yeah, 4 and 5 is control. And it's on the same page, page 12 for the control table. Come on, Wizardry. Come on, Wizardry. What's the first D6?
Is a 6?
Oh, okay. You might get Wizardry. What's the next one?
And the next one is a 3, time control.
Holy crap.
Yep. Now, next to it is a little dot. Okay, it counts as 2 power choices.
Oh.
So I can't tap that. I get to go down the list. Since everything else has a dot next to it,
mm-hmm.
I can either have healing or power nullification. I think I'll take power nullification.
Okay. Now the next step would be to roll for the level of these powers, right?
Correct.
Okay.
All right. So, precog. Go back up to the...
Yep, level determination is on page 11.
Yep, on page 11. My first roll was a 6, meaning that my precognition is...
4.
Okay. Now my affliction, I rolled a 9.
Which gives you a 6.
Okay. And then for swinging, I rolled another 9.
Okay, another 6.
And for power nullification, I rolled a 10.
Giving you a 6.
Okay. 6 across the board. All right. Okay, so looking over my character, I have a prowess of 6, coordination of 5, strength of 4, intellect of 5, awareness of 8, and a willpower of 5. I get to add 2 to either one of my powers or to one of my stats. I'm going to add... I'll add 2 to one of my stats and make strength a 6. So... I've got affliction of 6, swinging, powerful power nullification. Let's look up affliction powers because I'm curious as to what exactly I can do with that.
And using the handy bookmarks in the icon PDF, we go straight to page 48 for affliction. In which it says, you can cause a fast-acting affliction, like a disease or toxin, by touching a target. Cast your affliction level against the target's strength each page. Success results in power level damage. Failure means no damage. The affliction continues. Another test is required in the following page. Failure by 3 or more also ends the effect.
Okay.
So basically it's a poison touch.
Okay.
And you can remove your affliction at will simply by touching the affliction. Simply by touching the victim, halting any further damage. As a bonus power, you can use your affliction at close range without having to touch the target. Which might be what I would do, because that would open up some tactical possibilities. Yeah. Ranged affliction. Like a dart gun.
Yeah.
You know, once you get affliction... I'm always thinking of, like, you know, Necromancer or Crypt Keeper characters.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I know what I'll do.
What's that, Dan?
Okay, the character's name is going to be Komodo.
Oh, okay.
He has one device that he uses, and that's how he gets around. He's got a grapnel gun that he uses to swing around.
Mm-hmm.
But most of his attacks are just based on the fact that when he touches people, he can give them basically just a ravaging disease, kind of like a Komodo's bite.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, like, he also has the ability to attack them with power nullification to dismantle their powers, but I'll put, like, a challenge on there that he can only do it when he touches them. He has to actually hit them with a hit.
Okay.
So it doesn't work on somebody with a force field. He can't turn off their force field by touching the force field. He has to actually touch the person to do it.
So is he a Doc Connor-style man-lizard?
Yes.
Okay.
Although he's not like... Well, maybe. Yeah, he wears a full costume. He's all ravaged up by his transformation into this half-dragon.
Did he used to be a lab assistant for Buddy Moreau and one whole experiment one day with the chimp gun sets of one of the other settings that happened to him?
It could be.
Because I just like that. I like him being the more serious, more confident sidekick.
Indeed.
Kind of...
So, yeah, his name is Komodo. His name is Roderick Mondo. That was his real name. And, yes, he was a lab assistant who tried to help Buddy Moreau, but unfortunately there were two ways this could have ended, him as a giant lizard man or as a chimp.
And only you, dear listener, can decide which would have been better. Lizard's kind of sexier, though. You know, you can still date a lizard. As a chimp, you know.
Yeah, he's pretty messed up looking. That's going to be one of his aspects. Qualities. He doesn't have a catchphrase, I don't think.
Okay. That's easy to work in a play.
Yes, he's the Serpent of Justice is his epithet.
We need to add another adjective onto that.
Really?
I just like alliteration. I want him to be the serpent of justice, or the surreptitious serpent of justice, or supreme serpent of justice. No, that sounds a little villainous, doesn't it? Don't think too hard about it, Dan. That's a good deal.
The the stinging serpent of justice.
Okay, close enough.
Or the swinging serpent of justice, because he is swinging.
Oh, okay. Hey, that works. Hey, can he be a musician?
Can he be a musician?
Yeah, like a bongo player. That'd be fun.
I don't think so. It's not a beatnik.
Okay, all right. Different kind of swing.
Oh, speaking of things that he can do, we should probably roll up his specialties.
Yep.
What page is that on?
That's a great question. That's going to be on page... No, not there. Sorry. Hero Creation. Phase 4. Specialties. Yeah, there we go. That's page 14.
Okay, I rolled a 9 on that table.
Okay. So you rolled a 9, so you've got 3 specialties.
Awesome. I'm going to use acrobatics. He's going to be a master of acrobatics.
Okay.
Actually, I'll take that back. He's going to be normal at acrobatics and an expert martial artist.
Okay.
So he's kind of like the Kato to Buddy Moreau.
Okay. To Seth Rogen's Green Hornet. Gotcha.
Indeed. And there we go.
Okay.
And we now have a character, and I'll save him in my icons character folio. Bang. Komodo is saved.
Sweet. So, hey, we're going to make a short podcast tonight, but we should mention that the big news we've been hinting about kind of erratically is we're going to do a Kickstarter for a Icons City setting called Stark City. And you might have noticed that Dan's game company is called Stark City Games. Dan's asked me to kind of be the executive producer, kind of, you know, head bottle watch behind the scenes. So I'm the guy on Kickstarter who's going to be, like, promoting it or whatever, but yeah, basically. So it's Stark City. It's going to be a modular setting. We'll have 4 supplements detailing various neighborhoods, and you can pick the elements you like. You're not tied to any kind of meta plots. And Steve Jensen, Icon's creator, is going to be doing a series of city generation rules for us called Iconic Cities that's partly inspired by the Dresden Files setting generation rules. So that should be fun.
Indeed.
And go ahead, Dan.
Yep. This whole idea came to me shortly after Icons was announced to not have an official city setting.
This isn't official.
Right, this is not. When Steve said that he didn't want to do an official city setting, I said, great, that's great, I don't want, that's awesome, but I asked him, would that preclude me from making one? And he said, absolutely not. So I was like, wonderful, let me get in my friends to help me do this. So I grabbed Mike, and Mike had a lot of friends as well to help us do this, and we've got writers from all over the place helping us do this. Now, the goal of this was to create a world for your team to live in. So it's not like you're going to be flipping through like other settings where you're going to see the history of the world, where all these superheroes came about. There'll be one or two that are mentioned, but for the most part, your characters and your teams are going to make up the background of Stark City as far as superheroes go. There will be villains there for you to fight, and there will be awesome setups for seeds for adventures and all of that. But your characters are the most important things in this universe. And I think we've come up with a really great way to do that.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. If you go to... We don't have the Kickstarter live yet. We're still getting the video nailed down. But if you go to welcometostarkcity.blogspot.com, you can see our initial write-up for the Kickstarter, and you can see... some art previews. We have a few buildings, some of the villains, some of the NPC heroes.
Yep.
There's a robotic mafia hitman, which is, you know, fun. So yeah, give that a check. Once again, that's welcometostarkcity.blogspot.com.
Correct.
It's going to be huge.
Oh, and one of the stretch goals is important to mention now, because at Gen Con I'm going to be running 2 Icons games. I'm going to be previewing something I just got done writing for Fading Goat Games, and another one that I'm going to be putting out through Adamant sometime afterwards. It's going to be an official Icons module. It's the sequel to Flight of the Nova 1.
Now, those aren't really stretch goals. Those are going to be backer rewards.
Yes.
Yeah, you can purchase. In Dan's case, they're going to be like at a... you'll be able to purchase $150 level, $151, I think. Dan will run a private Icons game at Gen Con for you and your buddies. And you can choose either Friday or Saturday night for that. And Dan's a hilarious GM. He sings, he dances, he beatboxes.
I sure do.
He really just brings you into the world. He's got aromatherapy going on. It's
I have like soundtracks. I put up a disco ball, slow lighting.
You heard Dan singing, and then when the podcast started, you can get some.
Bum, bum. That's right. You heard that. That's Batman.
It's a full sensory experience. So.
Indeed.
Anyway.
Ajax smells around.
All right. Well, hey, I have to cut out early, but hey, this is our. We did some more character gen. Hopefully, we'll do some more actual play or character gen for Icons the next week or so. Stark City, keep an eye out for it. It's going to be. It's the next big thing for Icons. So. It's big, huge, shivering mound of fun.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Hey, thanks, Dan, for being here. Yep. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And do we have a catchphrase to sign off tonight?
Oh, yes. Beware the Komodo, the swinging serpent of justice.
That'll have to do. All right. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Talk to you later.
Oh, and go see Batman, The Dark Knight Rises. It's amazing.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.